And then there's Ramsey Clark speaking up. Ramsey Clark is also seen in the Panama deception. He's also seen in the Iraq genocide sanctions. But then we have Ramsey Clark speaking all on his own, and it took place in 1998 at the Holman Methodist Church right down the street here. That's the church of Reverend James Lawson, who taught nonviolence with Martin Luther King. And I was there that night. It was called Save the Iraqi Children Night. There was about 500 people there. I consider Ramsey Clark to be the number one peace activist in America, former attorney general, who I think, when he went to Vietnam, he was worked for LBJ. And when he went to Vietnam, I think Ramsey saw what was happening. And he got out of the government, and I think he spent all the years since then, for over 30 years, speaking out, traveling to the countries that we bomb, that we put sanctions on, that we do these dastardly deeds to, and speaking out against it, and working night and day on these issues. And Ramsey Clark's talk that night is one of the two most important talks to me, or most meaningful talks I've ever heard. The other one was when I heard Brian Wilson speak for the first time, who's the last segment on the tape. So the people that move me the most ever are the last two speakers on the tape. And Ramsey Clark, that night, said so many important things. He quoted Martin Luther King saying, in a letter Martin Luther King wrote to Ramsey Clark, quotes Martin Luther King saying, "The greatest purveyor of violence on earth is my own government." And then he goes on to describe to you why that's so. How we spend more money on the military in this country than in top 12 nations around the world combined, and more than a third of the military expenditures in this country, in this world, we spent, or more than a third of them. And he makes so many incredible statements during this whole talk, which I edited from 35 minutes down to about 9. And the whole talk is brilliant, but I didn't have time for it. But I must say I did a good job with the editing on that, because it gets people every time. He makes a statement. We have a war party in this country. You can call them Democrats for a while. You can call them Republicans for a while. But it's been the special economic interests that rule this country, that use the military to control the rest of the world. And we are responsible, and we will pay the price. And he said this in 1998, and it's so true. And he made so many other great statements, important, relevant statements. Ramsey Clark is such a kind, loving, caring man. You can see it in him. So... and I love Ramsey Clark. And then the last segment is my friend now, Brian Wilson, S. Brian Wilson, who is the most moving talk I've ever seen in my life. The first time I saw Brian speak, I knew about Brian. I spoke earlier when he was fasting in front of the Capitol building in 1986. I didn't know him, but I knew of him. And then in 1987, when he was, the two other veterans were in Concord, California, blocking enabled railroad tracks, blocking naval trains that were carrying weapons that were going to go to Central America to kill some people. And these veterans have been protesting our policies in Central America, and they had no intention of having what happened, which is Brian getting his legs cut off. They expected to be arrested, taken to jail for maybe a year, but the FBI told the engineer they were terrorists and that they might jump the train with weapons. And they had become, of course, not Gandhian nonviolent peace activists. So the engineer panicked and sped the train up, and Brian was run over. Not on purpose. He didn't lay there and let the train run over. He wasn't able to get up in time. The other guys barely got up and cut off his legs, and he almost died. I saw him speak 1 year after that, or about a year after that episode. And that was the most meaningful, emotional, moving talk I ever heard in my life. That went along with the one with Ramsey Clark I just mentioned. And Brian tells it, his story, about going to Vietnam, about growing up and being an all-American guy. And he was a Republican family, and his parents were fundamentalist Christians, and he believed in the American way, and he was doing real well in our society in every way. He was an all-star athlete, he was a good student, he was going to have a great career in whatever he did. He went in the Air Force, and as an officer, he was sent to Vietnam. His first assignment as a security officer was to go out and investigate a village that we had bombed, the South Vietnamese under our tutelage had bombed. And what he found was all these dead women and children and old men, old people. That's what he found. No soldiers. And he came across one particular woman who was still smoking. Her eyes were burned open. She had 3 children in her arms, and they were all dead. And Brian tells a story, He always tells a story when he talks. He doesn't say this story on my tape, but he always tells a story of how he broke down crying. And the Vietnamese officer, the South Vietnamese officer, came over, and what are you crying about, Lieutenant? And Brian said, he didn't know where it came from. He said, she's one of my family. And he just was crying. So he had an epiphany that day. And he started from then to question everything we did. And he was questioning the bombing in Vietnam and all. And he had a change of his whole life. They sent him back early because he was talking out too much. He started reading. Even in Vietnam, he found books about the history of Vietnam, the real history. And he realized the history of the French there and all this history that he didn't know anything about the oppression and these Vietnamese people, how noble they were in fighting for their own. They were fighting for their own life, for their own country. We were the oppressors. A lot of people had told me I needed to end the tape with something positive and uplifting, and Brian is that because he talks about we have to have a nonviolent revolution of consciousness in this country, and we have to we need to feel in our hearts and feel the pain and feel in our hearts what to do, and that we need to pay the price to have peace. And he talks about waging peace, and he says that his famous mantra, he says, and he says it on the tape, is we are not worth more. And they are not worth less. He says another line. He always says it. Always gets me because it's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. Nothing could stay why I'm doing more than this other line Brian always uses. And he says it on tape that he can stand. He's free. He's liberated. He can stand anywhere and tell them they cannot continue to kill mothers and fathers and children in his name as an American citizen, as a human being, and as a citizen of the earth. And that's how I feel. And I'm sure that's how everybody in the peace movement must feel. And anybody else would feel that way if they understood our tax money is being used to kill people all over the planet who were innocent. When I met Brian the first time on the phone, and I told him he was very religious, he told me, I'm not religious at all, Frank, because he was brought up as a fundamental Christian. I said, well, to me you're religious. What you're doing is what all religious people should be doing, is what I think Jesus would be doing if he was back alive today. He would be speaking out of truth against power. He would be speaking truth to power. He would be speaking out against evil, which... according to our country, is only the other people. But according to us in the peace movement, we understand different than that. A lot of the evil is coming right from here. And that's the part most Americans have no idea about. Well, I had no experience before I made my videotape, but I did learn as I was going a lot. But I was at the Democratic Convention protest, which was a year and a half ago, I guess, here in Los Angeles in August. It was a whole week long, and I was down there every day. And I did have my video camera before somebody stole it, which a lot of people think the police stole it. That's another story. But I don't know. But I did video two big events. The first one was the March for Mumia. Abdul-Jabbar, am I saying it right? And I went because my friends I work with in the Save the Iraqi Children Coalition said to me, you got to come to this, Frank. You got to come to this. And I go, well, I don't know. I'm sure the guy's probably innocent, but he's only one guy. I don't understand why he's getting all this attention. And I figured he's probably innocent, but I didn't get it. So I went down there and I videoed. I actually let people speak who were there. And it wasn't just about Mumia. It was about injustice in this country. It was about police brutality. It was about poverty. It was about the unfairnesses that are going on in this country. And of course I found out what a great speaker he is. Mumia is such an incredible speaker himself. And the people that day that I videoed, and what I did is I just let them talk. I just said to them, if you tell me why you're here, who you are, why you're here, and I let them talk. I didn't even interview people. And every one of them was incredibly articulate and well-spoken and they were teaching me a lot, and I really enjoyed it very much, and I learned so much. I already knew there was inequality in this country. I knew there was racism in this country, and I knew that. I wasn't that out of it, but I guess I didn't realize it to the degree that it is, and how that is all related with the foreign policy issue. It is all related. And so I did that day, and we marched from this Pershing Square to the Staples Center parking lot and heard a lot of good speakers. But what I was doing was interviewing or letting the people speak who were there and why they were there. And the next day I did it was the same thing. It was the same deal from the Pershing Square to Staples. It was called Human Needs, Not Corporate Greed. It was a big march. I think, of the whole weekend, was basically incorporating all the issues in one. And there was a huge parade, and people came all dressed up wearing all their different costumes and all their different signs about everything, all the things that we were protesting, from the war in Iraq to war period, to racism, to homophobia, to poverty, to the environment, and whatever else I'm leaving out. It was all there together. And as the people that spoke that day were so articulate, they were so knowledgeable, and they knew why they were there. They had come from all over the country. They were all ages, races, and backgrounds. And you know, this is what you didn't see in the mainstream. The mainstream media never did any of this. I mean, how come they didn't come down and interview these people? You know. And then I walked in the parade with the parade and just caught it, and it was the best parade I was ever in my life. It was so exciting. It was so alive and so real.